This is Cricken for Audio. Welcome to Cricken for Audio. I'm Amit Verma. West Indies has just won the fifth one-day international against India, thus clinching the series 4-1. And I'm chatting about the game with Anand Vasu, who did ball-by-ball commentary for this game on cricinfo.com. Anand, I was struck by something Brian Lara said at the press conference after the fourth ODI. Here, let's listen to what he said.
What we're looking for is to ensure that, you know, even though we've put India in the bag in terms of the series, we want to know that we can come out on Sunday and still win, even though there might be a couple changes, a couple new faces, maybe not, you know, the best 11 outside there. Winning that match on Sunday would also be of great importance to us.
Anand, Lara's strong talk has been accompanied by a powerful performance by West Indies. Are you impressed by what they've accomplished in this series?
Yeah, I certainly think they've done very, very well, much beyond anyone's expectations. There's a couple of things that we need to take into account. The first is that press conferences, captains are necessarily required to make certain strong statements. And Lara has not shied from doing this even when West Indies were losing quite badly in the last few years. He's now been able to back that talk up with some good performances. That's helped his cause as captain. What West Indies have done, in some ways, if you look at it, it's quite similar to what happened with India in the last 6 or 7 months. Rahul Dravid or Greg Chappell or whoever you want to call the brains trust of this team has taken a few chances. When they've pushed Irfan up at number 3, he's made runs. When they've sent Dhoni up the order, he's made big hundreds. When they've used Yuvraj Singh as a bowler, he's delivered. Similar things have happened with Brian Lara and West Indies in this series. A lot of the gambles or semi-gambles that they've taken, obviously these are things that they've tried out in the nets, in practice. These are strategies that they have formulated. Something like Dwayne Bravo bowling his slower balls like he has. Out of the blue, someone like Dave Mohammad coming in and Lara putting full faith in him in this game and giving him crucial overs. So a lot of things are working for Brian Lara at the moment, and that's how it goes.
Anand, Greg Chappell often stresses on the importance of process, that if the Indian team keeps doing the right things, they shouldn't give too much importance to results. But the process seems to be unraveling a bit now. As someone who's watched this team closely and who's interviewed both Dravid and Chappell in recent months, what are your thoughts on what's going wrong?
Actually, I'm going to have to disagree with you a little bit there, because I don't think the process is going wrong at all, in the sense that India have had spectacularly good results in the last 10 months, and therefore it's looked like the processes have been working really well. But in terms of this series, if you look at some of the things they've done, something like putting Suresh Raina up the order, even when matches were live, even when we were 2-1 down, though it might not have tactically been the best thing to do, they still used Suresh Raina up the order because they wanted to see how he would respond to a challenge like that. Both Dravid and Chappell care quite dearly about success. They realize that if they're going to build a strong Indian team that can play consistently well in 7-match one-day series, they're going to need a good group of cricketers. Munaf Patel has looked consistently off-colour this series. He's not bowled well at all. But still this game, he was given the ball. He was given the ball at crucial moments, because sometimes you need to give guys like this a chance to fail, just like you need to give them a chance to succeed. I feel there is a certain commitment to the process, and I think this will really hold India in good stead when we come back to the West Indies for the 2007 World Cup.
Anand, I'm not quite sure what you mean by process here. The things you spoke of, like sending Suresh Raina up the order in live games, they're just being flexible consistently. In an audio feature we did before this series, Harsha Bhogle told me that Chappell can be rigid in his flexibility and that this can hurt the side. What I really want to know is, if they're sticking to this process, how would you define this process, and why has India just lost 4 one-dayers in a row?
I can't really talk about what Harsha said, because I'm not sure what he means by that. The idea is to build a long-term group. It's not about 11 players, but you need to build about 20 players that can perform various different roles. And flexibility is, of course, the watchword, because you need to have the ability to pick a team depending on the conditions. And sometimes in a one-day match, you would want to have 7 batsmen. So then you'd have to have Yuvraj and Sehwag bowling to make up for the loss of a bowler. On other days, you'll have to have Dhoni batting up the order, so you can have an extra bowler in place. So the team composition, I think, is more reflected in the flexibility argument. But I think the process they're trying to develop is that they're trying to push each cricketer to the maximum. I think they're trying to make Suresh Raina, who's been finishing very well, understand very early on in his career that he needs to be able to bat at number 3 as well. I think they're trying to make him think like a number three batsman, understand the pressures that a number three batsman faces. Because often if you're batting only at 6 or 7, you come in with very few balls to play, and it doesn't matter whether you can or cannot play a long innings. So long as you can make 30 runs off 20 balls, you're a good cricketer. It happened a little bit, I think, with Mohammad Kaif during John Wright's tenure. Because Kaif batted at number 7 consistently on the back of 6 batsmen, he never really needed to build an innings. He either came in when the top order had failed miserably, and that meant that there was a little less pressure on him because the cause was often a lost one, and he had time to compile a good 50 or a good 60, but India were never going to make it. Or he could throw caution to the wind and play the innings of his life, which he did sometimes, like in the NatWest final. But now I think they're consistently using players in different roles. They're making the top order batsmen understand what it's like to bat lower in the order, and vice versa. Suresh Raina, we must understand, has not played much cricket. So for him to get a chance to do this at the highest level, I think is building him to be a better cricketer.
You know, all of that makes a lot of sense. But nevertheless, you know, when you start losing, and here they've lost 4 games in a row, I'm sure it affects sides. Your morale goes down, your public criticism goes up. Isn't that a danger Chappell is sort of ignoring? That if you focus too much on the process, and he might find out a lot about his players, but you can lose a winning habit.
I think losing the winning habit is not so much up to Chappell or Dravid, it's up to the team. Whether this affects the morale of the team, how that happens, is a tough one. Because the team also, within themselves, a lot of them know their self-worth much better than we perceive from the outside. Because we tend to think that one bad performance or one bad series would really knock them badly. But often the public takes to a defeat much worse than the team does. Because in a lot of ways for them, it is their livelihood. It is a day-in, day-out thing. Some of them know that they've come in and bowled really well or batted really well, and things haven't gone their way. If you tell Ajit Agarkar he should be disappointed about the series, he will be to a certain extent. But he knows that he's bowled as well as he possibly has all his career. And now he's going back home at the end of the one-day series. He was asked a question the other day, and he answered quite brilliantly, I thought, when someone said, "No, you're not going to be playing the test. What are you going to do?" He said, "I'm going to be back home in Bombay playing with my son Raj." So that was quite a good answer. And it's not something that you often hear, because Indian cricketers tend to be quite bitter about these things, and they drop from the side, they're quite happy to complain about it. But that hasn't happened. I think there are a few good things happening with this side.
Two of the positives that have definitely happened in this series for India have been the fact that Mohammad Kaif and Virendra Sehwag have come through. You know, in the last one-day series, Chappell got a lot of flack for persisting with these two guys despite the continuing bad form. Now, let's talk about Sehwag. You know, he's shown a lot of character in turning around months of disappointing one-day performances with 95 today and 97 in the third ODI. You see any change in the way he plays his game?
I don't see any fundamental change. More than his 97 the other day, his innings today I thought was exemplary. The one critical thing about his innings today was the one thing he's been criticized most about. That was his shot selection. He consistently, on a slow pitch, with the ball not really coming onto the bat, with Brian Lara using Wavell Hines to open the bowling, knew exactly what shot to play. He was overcommitting on the front foot in previous games and getting quite lost against the slow ball. We saw how he was caught by Chris Gayle at cover in the previous game. But in this game, he watched the ball, hit it cleanly, and some of the shots he played through the offside, especially through cover point, when he waited on the ball and just timed it, and that's Sehwag at his best, really, because he can hit the ball. When he chose to hit the ball, even when he was not reading Dave Mohammad very well, when he chose to go after the ball, when he got to the pitch of the ball, he was easily able to clear long off. That we know Sehwag can do. When wickets are falling, that's an unusual thing for him, because usually he's the first one to go. He might have made 80 by the time, he might have made 8, but often he's the first one to go. But this time when wickets falling all around him, even when Yuvraj came in and was batting superbly well for the short stay at the crease, Sehwag kept his cool and Sehwag was there to play the long innings. He made one mistake and that cost him his wicket and perhaps cost India the game as well. But I think Sehwag has rediscovered the art of making runs. I don't think he ever struggled with anything else, but he's making runs now and that's a good thing.
Thanks, mate. I was chatting with Anand Basu, and we'll have more of these post-match conversations during the test series between India and West Indies. Do follow that series on cricinfo.com, and you can go straight to our audio coverage by typing in cricinfo.com/audio. Please do send us your feedback by writing into audio@cricinfo.com. This is Amit Verma signing off on Crick Info Audio.
This is Crick Info Audio.